Let us pray. Holy One, open us to your words of life this morning that we may remain in your love and care as we seek to love and care for the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First off, I want to thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to reflect on God's word with you this morning. I bring to you greetings from northeastern Ohio in my small little community of Mineral Ridge. We are in the northeast corner near Youngstown. If you're driving on I-80 between New York or Chicago and New York, we're right in the middle. If you were with us yesterday, you will know that I served as a student pastor with Reverend Laura at the First Presbyterian Church in Highland, Indiana, when she was there. She made the trip out to Mineral Ridge to baptize both of my children, Harper and Isaiah. And it was great for us to be able to be here this weekend to celebrate Laura's ordination anniversary and to worship with you all this morning. Now, this morning when you came in, you should have received a paper cutout of a leaf. Did everyone get one? Just one more time. Make sure everyone has a leaf and a pen. All right. So this is your ticket to not listen to what I'm saying this morning. I'm going to tell you exactly what the sermon's going to be about at the beginning, and you can work on your leaf and just tune me out if you want to. I'm going to give you assignments to work on while I'm speaking. So our passage this morning from John includes Jesus' final I am statement. He says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener." And then he goes on to say, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Up here around the worship space, you may see this vine that's stretched out along the steps. So as a response to this passage today, we are going to write or draw, however you feel led, something on this leaf that represents for you what this passage means. It can have nothing to do with what I talk about up here. But we're asking that you write something on here about how this passage reflects in your life. It could be something that you already do that helps you remain a part of Jesus, a way in which you might be active in the life of the church. It could be fruit that you bear, good works that you do for God's kingdom. It could be a way in which you seek to grow more, something that you would like to do to be a part of God's kingdom and respond to God's call in your life. So whatever it means to you to remain a part of the vine, that's what we're asking you to write on these leaves. And later in the service, the ushers will pass the offering plates. They're going to pass the plates twice today. The first time will be for your leaves, and then we're going to ask, I think, the kids to come down and help put those on the vine, and then the second time will be for your normal offering. So let's try not to get those confused. So that's what your assignment is while I am speaking these next few minutes. The story that we read from John's Gospel this morning falls in the middle of two very distinct contexts and actually physical locations in the Gospel of John. The verses that come right before this have Jesus saying, "Rise, let us go from this place." And in chapters 13 and 14, those include John's account of the Last Supper with the disciples, and they include Jesus' act of service for his disciples in washing their feet on that Maundy Thursday that we celebrate in Holy Week. Chapter 13 and 14, right before this, offer a time of counseling and teaching. Jesus is preparing his disciples for what comes next. And some scholars believe that here in chapter 15, this takes place on the way from that upper room to the garden where Jesus would later be arrested. And so these verses take place along a path, along a garden path, where Jesus, ever observant of things that are going on around him, probably sees some physical vines. And he makes this analogy using what he sees around him. Now, I was able to look around at this beautiful campus that you have and see lots of things growing. And some of you may have a hand in that. Some of you may have gardens, may have a green thumb, as they say, and know this process of what it means to care for plants. Others of you may be like me and have no idea how to raise or even keep something watered. I've tried to cultivate a small community garden at the church where I'm at, and I've had to learn a lot about gardening over the last couple years. But the culture in which this passage was written was an agrarian society. Probably most people knew the process of raising plants. So people would have been familiar with the language that Jesus was using. And unlike many of Jesus' parables, analogies, and allegories, I think with this one, there's little doubt as to which one each of these little things represents, who each part of this is. For once, Jesus actually gives us the answers. Jesus is the vine, the disciples are the branches, and God is the vine dresser, the gardener, the caretaker, however you want to say that. So thank you, Jesus, for actually giving us what you mean here. Now, it is the vine that takes the water and the nutrients from the ground and distributes it to the branches. The vine also holds the branches on to the plant and supports that heavy fruit as it comes in. The branches, the disciples, receive their life from the vine, and their main function is to bear fruit. And then we have God, who cares for the vine. God's role is to cut off the branches that don't bear fruit and to prune those that do. Trimming and pruning is a necessary part of the life of this vine or any plant. The gardener removes parts of the vines that don't produce any fruit, and the parts that do produce fruit are trimmed so that they will produce even more fruit the next time around. So in bringing this analogy to disciples, Jesus is telling us that it isn't just the unproductive disciples or branches that are trimmed, but even the productive ones need to be corrected and pruned so that they can become even more productive. Now, in the church today, we mostly think about the fruits that we do as good works, good things that we do for God's kingdom. Throughout John's gospel and in his letters, we find that loving others and keeping the commandments of God are the most important things that Jesus tells his disciples to do. This is what it means to be fruitful. The fruitful church is not the one with the most members or the largest budget. The teachings of Jesus were based on sharing the message of salvation for all people, loving others, and helping those in need. Jesus' message to the world was one of forgiveness, restoration, and change. And we see that even in the lives of disciples that are fruitful, churches that are fruitful, there are things that need pruning, things that need to be taken out so that we can be more fruitful churches and disciples. There are attitudes and actions that may need pruning. Our thoughts may not always reflect what is best for all people, but something that might be best for me or my little group. These thoughts are not on the kingdom of God, and we must allow God to prune them, to trim them out of our lives. We need God to prune our minds of sin and injustice so that our lives and our work will not only bear fruit, but bear the most fruit that we are able to produce. Verse 4 gives us the main theme of this passage and how we are to live it out. Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you." Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it is a part of the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we must abide. We must remain in Christ. A single branch without the support or help of the vine is lifeless. It cannot produce fruit. And it is the same with us. Disciples and communities who remain in Christ's commandments are the ones that will be strengthened to love and to serve and be the ones that produce fruit. So the question for us this morning, and the things we are reflecting on as we fill out our leaves, how do we remain in Christ? How are we able to abide in Christ, in Jesus, so that we can bear fruit? We keep his commandments, the most important one being the one that Jesus gives them in the upper room, love one another as I have loved you. Now the you there and the you in this verse here is plural. Now, I grew up in North Carolina and I always joke that these imperatives would be a lot easier for us to understand if we used my favorite southern word, y'all. This is a plural you. Y'all are the branches. Love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved y'all. These commands are not just for us individually, but for us collectively as communities of faith. We cannot do this alone. Who's ever heard of a vine with just one branch? To remain in Christ is to remain connected to one another, to pray for, to pray with one another, to serve alongside of one another, to study and to worship together. And Jesus offers us considerable hope when we remain a part of the vine. He says, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, Jesus tells us this not so that we can ask for everything on that personal wish list that we may have. That's not what Jesus is getting at. But Jesus knows that when we truly remain in him, when we are a part of the vine, when we obey his commandments and work together for God's kingdom, that God's wants become our wants. Christ's ways become our ways. We pray this every week. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The things that God wants for our lives and our world become the things that we want for ourselves and our communities. This is primarily about looking for what God wants and applying God's will to our way of living as a people and as a church. When we remain in Christ, it is impossible for us to pray in any other way than the will of God. And throughout this passage, we have been encouraged to remain a part of Christ's body as a branch remains a part of the vine. We have been reminded that when we do this, we will not only bear fruit, but will bear the most amount of fruit that we are able to do. We will remain in tune with God's will and God's desires for us and for the world. And when we come to the end of this passage, we find the results of a life lived as disciples of Christ. God will get the glory, and there will be a bountiful harvest, bountiful fruit. God is glorified when the disciples of Jesus do what Jesus taught them to do. I think the lesson that we take away from this passage is easy to find, but as with anything that Jesus instructs us to do, it is difficult for us to live. Jesus is the vine that gives life, and in him we can find all that we need to live a fruitful life. When we remain in the love of Jesus and obey his commandments, we will be fruitful branches. But even when we do bear fruit, there are still things in our lives that need to be pruned and corrected so that we will be able to be better disciples, bringing glory to God. There will be times in our lives when we need to ask God to change us even more. We have to allow God to do that work in our lives to make us better people, better and more committed disciples. We have to allow God to prune and correct our ways so that we can bear the most fruit that we are able to bear. If and when we remain in Jesus, he will remain in us and will give us whatever we ask of him. And when we remain in God's love and care, the things that we want for our lives and our world will be the same things that God wants for us. The fruit that we bear will bring glory to God through Jesus, and the world will know we are his disciples by the love that we share. This vine is empty and fruitless. But together, let us add our branches, our commitment to remain a part of Christ's body and Christ's work in this world. I saw them a little while ago setting up in the fellowship hall for the mission fair. Lots of ways in which we can engage in the community and the work that God is doing in our world. Maybe that's something that we can write on our leaves or find out a little bit more about later. Ways that we can connect with God's work in this world. So now let us respond to God with the gift of our lives, the ways we hope to be fruitful, the ways we can remain a part of the vine, a part of this church, and a part of this community that God has called us to serve and to work as a part of. Amen.